This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. Although medical experts agree that the coronavirus that touched off the COVID-19 pandemic is all but certain to be with us for a long, long time, for the vaccinated, the epidemic came to an official end of sorts on May 13th, when the U.S. Centers for Disease Control gave new guidance saying that those who are fully vaccinated can safely go about their lives without wearing masks or worrying about social distancing, indoors or out, essentially resuming a semblance of normal life. As it happened, the news came the day before KPTZ celebrated its 10th birthday. This week on The Compass, we talk once again with Jefferson County Public Health Officer Dr. Tom Locke on that doubly happy day about the science behind the new CDC guidance and the implications going forward. So now, let's go inside The Compass. This is a really kind of a momentous day for a number of reasons. I mean, one of them is that today is May 14th, and that means that today is the 10th anniversary of KPTZ. And
so congratulations.
Thank you. And, you know, I just have to say that, you know, the last year has been a really interesting one because, you know, like one of the things that we envisioned throughout the time at the radio station was that at some like time of crisis, the station would turn into a vital organ of information distribution and so on. And I think we've really seen that in the last year with the pandemic. And you, of course, have been a huge part of that with your briefings each week in front of the Board of County Commissioners. And one of the things that I was speculating just a couple of days ago with Robert Ambrose, who is the president of the board, is that, you know, it's possible that we can't really prove this, that the radio station has a lot to do with the fact that Jefferson County is one of the most vaccinated, most vaccinated county in the state of Washington, right?
That's one distinction. It has the highest rate of completed vaccinations in the state. And has the second lowest rate of infections, second only to San Juan.
Yeah, it's a pretty great record, really. Yeah, and I'm among the people who is now fully vaccinated. I have been for weeks, and my wife just the day before yesterday completed her like 14 days after her second shot, so she's now fully vaccinated. And I have to say that the level of comfort about just going about our day-to-day lives is greatly enhanced.
As it should be. And you know, fundamentally, the way people should read the changes in CDC guidance as a huge endorsement of the effectiveness of the vaccine. That's the science that's driving this, is that the vaccines are way more effective than we could have ever hoped for. You know, we would have settled for something that was in the 50 to 60% effectiveness range. And instead, we've got something that's in the upper 90% in terms of effectiveness. So they provide people with an extraordinary amount of protection, but none of us are bulletproof. You know, you still can get COVID-19, even if you're vaccinated. It's just, if you get it, you get in almost all cases, you get a very mild case, sometimes without any symptoms at all. So people should not be reckless if they're fully vaccinated, because unfortunately, there's still a lot of COVID illness around. We're just over the crest of the fourth wave in Washington State. And in some places, Pierce County has really high rates right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's like 360 cases per 100,000. That's five times where we are.
But nationwide, I understand that over the last couple of weeks, the infection rates, the death rates, everything have been the trend is good, I understand, in virtually every state. There's not a state that's been going in the wrong direction. They've either been holding level or, I heard that there was like a 20% infection rate drop since.
But what you have to be careful of there, it's dropped from a high level.
Right.
So still the absolute level of infection. And that's what gets you. That's how you catch an infection. It's not the percentage change. It's how many people with that infection are around and what is your probability of crossing paths right. with one?
There is this question about just, how likely. I mean, I know that the phase 3 human trials on the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines both showed a 95% efficiency rate. But that implies that there's a 5% chance that if you encounter that you would become infected, according to the studies. But I was wondering how in real life that's panning out. I mean, are we finding a lot of breakthrough infection?
Not a lot, but we're tracking that very carefully in Washington State. I'll get an update today at a meeting we'll have. But as of last week, we had over 800 cases had been detected statewide, and just getting the exact figure here. And it was and closer to home. We now have, as of today, we've had five breakthrough cases. So people are fully vaccinated who test positive for COVID-19. All have very mild infection, which is as we expect. All are over age 60. That's what, when we have a vaccine that's across the board about 95% effective, but actually less than that for people who are over age 65 or for people who have immune system problems. We expect breakthrough cases, and it's still the vaccine's been extraordinarily effective at preventing severe illness and hospitalization and death. That's the thing we can say with the highest confidence, is that these vaccines are close to 100% effective in preventing hospitalization and mortality. And the best research we have on the day-to-day protection, there was a study done of healthcare workers, fully vaccinated healthcare workers who were working in hospitals with COVID patients, being exposed to it every day. And then they were swabbing their noses several times a week and seeing if they tested positive. And in that study, 90% of them were protected and 10% got very low grade infections. And these are people who are exposed to COVID on a daily basis in ICUs and settings like that. So that is a remarkably effective vaccine.
So they're among the people who are perhaps the most at risk.
Yeah, exactly. It's because they're going into the lion's den and putting themselves in harm's way. We don't think average members of the public have any kind of exposure approaching that. So with reasonable precautions, a person that's fully vaccinated can do exactly what the CDC suggests, and that is kind of go back to your pre-pandemic life. And especially, among friends and family who are likewise vaccinated, that's the safest thing. Where it becomes less safe, or at least, you should consider what precautions to take, are as you move out into crowded public spaces. And there still will be some places where you're required, like clinics and hospitals and public transit and airplanes. And right now, and this is what's really confusing to people, is that as of today, nothing has changed in Washington State. There are various proclamations and orders and mandates that, if they're going to be changed, they have to be changed in a legal fashion. you can't just wave your hand over them and make them disappear. So,
well, many of them are executive orders from the governor, right? So it would be the governor who would have to say.
Governor, and there's I have an order in Jefferson County that predates the governor's order. So there is a masking mandate in Jefferson County under my authority that exists. And we have every intention of reviewing it and changing it in whatever way it makes sense. But it's a difficult situation for businesses because, expecting them to kind of somehow sort out who's vaccinated and who's unvaccinated on people who walk into their stores. And so already this morning, I've seen some announcements that places like QFC and Home Depot and others are not going to change anything right away. They're going to continue to have their masking mandate because people who are unvaccinated, which is still, it's about 2/3 of Washington state residents are not fully vaccinated. It's less than that now. It's that number is improving, but I think the number of people fully vaccinated in Washington state is at least those 16 and older is like in the mid 40s.
I see. And what is the rate in Jefferson County now?
In Jefferson County, we are the highest in the state for fully vaccinated of total population. So it's 53.27% is fully vaccinated. And the percent that have had at least one dose is 61.7%. And if you look just at the people who are eligible, so 16 and above, and that's the metric that the governor's using, as of about 5 days ago, we were 69.39%. And so Jefferson County is very close to the metric that the governor is shooting for by the end of June. And the only county ahead of us in that is San Juan County that has over 70%.
I remember from our very first interview back at the beginning of the pandemic, you saying that, 70% was kind of perhaps a reasonable goal for achieving herd immunity.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's a moving target because actually the herd immunity you need varies by how infectious the thing that you're trying to prevent with the vaccine is. For instance, we need a higher herd immunity for measles than for influenza because measles is way more contagious. And unfortunately, COVID-19 has become more contagious. The variants, especially the UK variant, is about 60% more contagious than the original strain of COVID. And so the herd immunity, at least the theoretical level, has now gone up. Dr. Fauci has put it at about 85%.
Wow.
Now that doesn't mean 85% need to be vaccinated because herd immunity is the combination of vaccine induced immunity plus immunity from actually having had the infection.
Let's go back for a moment to talk about how your local, regulations may be changing in the next week because unfortunately, I'm going traveling next week for the first time in a year. So this interview, which we're doing on Friday, May 14th, won't air until the 22nd. So I'm kind of wondering what might change in terms of local regulations. I mean, what kind of changes are you looking at?
We will have made any modifications that we can make safely by then. I mean, I'm shooting for Monday the 17th that will make changes. And I think some of the immediate changes may be in workplaces where people are fully vaccinated. Say, your office workers or during meetings that you have with people that are fully vaccinated, there's really no good reason to be wearing masks in those kind of settings. And there hasn't been for some time. Businesses, restaurants, grocery stores, Places like that, that's a lot trickier because we've got mixes of vaccinated and unvaccinated people. And if unvaccinated people start mingling with other unvaccinated people in indoor spaces, we will see more infection. We will see
unmasked
more
if they do that unmasked, right?
Yeah, exactly. Unmasked. So if we just abolished all masking overnight, we would see an increase in cases because we have so much COVID still around. Now, by the end of June, we hope that we will be completely over the fourth wave, and then it will be much safer for unvaccinated people to be not wearing masks. In fact, that's where the governor is kind of targeting an end to all these various COVID restrictions, is by the end of June. But that's based on the levels of disease activity going down. If we do this wrong at this point, we'll actually see levels go up rather than down. So the speed with which the fourth wave dissipates really has a lot to do with our behaviors.
Right.
Here in Jefferson County, again, we have a very high vaccination level, and that protects everyone, including the unvaccinated. The unvaccinated are deriving some protection from the fact that they're in a community where so many people have chosen to become vaccinated.
Right. Obviously, I've been having a lot of conversations with a lot of friends about like different situations and scenarios and things that people can and can't do, especially, I mean, in the last 24 hours since the CDC kind of like lifted its restrictions, there've been a lot of questions. Like, for example, a friend of ours is planning to go to a family reunion pretty soon. And pretty much all of the adults going to the reunion have been vaccinated, and pretty much all of the children who are going to the reunion have not been vaccinated. And so she had a real question about, well, so what should the masking protocol be in a situation like that where you have mixed groups where, people are getting together? I mean, is it okay for all of the vaccinated adults to be unmasked in that situation?
Well, really, the risk is the risk to the children. So the adults are protected by the vaccine. Right. And actually, under the CDC guideline, it would be fine for those adults, those fully vaccinated adults, to be unmasked. And fortunately, the risk of COVID-19 is much lower for children than it is for adults. That is the risk of serious disease.
Right.
But those children can still get it. So if you wanted to be, if you wanted to have maximum safety, what you would do is you'd in effect be protecting the children from each other by having them mask. So, but it would not be to protect the adults, it's to protect the other children.
Right. Okay. Another situation has come up is that a friend of ours has just started doing a hula class with a bunch of friends. I mean, they're just kind of informally getting together. They are all fully vaccinated except for one who has like a sort of immunocompromised situation and feels that, or I guess her doctor feels that she needs to be vaccinated sort of like under observation. So she hasn't done it yet, but it's, she's the only one. So, I mean, as I sort of reason through that, I say, well, okay. It seems like everybody should be able to be unmasked because she's the only one who might present a problem to others.
Yeah, well, and that's one that really, you start with who is the risk, who's under risk. And,
right.
And the risk is to the unvaccinated person.
Right.
And so it's possible, although very unlikely, that one of the vaccinated people would be carrying the infection asymptomatically and could somehow transmit it. But that would be the only reason for them to wear a mask, is if they wanted to be ultra careful and protect their unvaccinated hula mate, then they would wear masks. Although that's really not what the recommendations are. The recommendation in that setting would be for the unvaccinated person to wear a mask at a minimum. And then if her friends, wanted to add this, very small incremental additional protection, they could do that. But it's very small. And my advice, there really is no one, immunodeficiency is not a reason to avoid vaccination. In fact, it's a reason to get vaccinated. You may not get, the vaccine may not be fully effective in people who have immune deficiencies, but with immune conditions, we're among our highest priority groups to vaccinate. We kind of started vaccinating them back in February. That's really the best solution is for everyone to get vaccinated. But right now, it's in those kind of settings, it's only the unvaccinated that need to be wearing masks.
Back when we were talking about breakthrough infection, we didn't really talk about whether there have been any studies that have shown that people who do get breakthrough infections then become contagious themselves as well.
We have kind of limited information on that. And excuse me, I'm just, I have a whole page of statistics on that that I kind of copied off that. Here we go. So here's what we know about the breakthrough cases in Washington State. We tracked them very carefully because among the breakthrough cases, we're monitoring for variants that may be less vaccine sensitive. So several of the breakthrough cases in Jefferson County, we've sent off samples to be genetically sequenced and see if they're variant forms. But so there's been 832 breakthrough cases in the state. About 50% of them have been symptomatic, the other 50% not symptomatic. People who have a breakthrough case, they have enough virus in their system that we can detect it. So in theory, they are contagious. They could spread it to others, but typically they'd have much lower virus levels than others. So they'd be less contagious than someone who was not unvaccinated. And we have had some people, 10% of people with breakthrough cases in the state have been sick enough to be hospitalized. And there have been 11 deaths among breakthrough cases. And the youngest was 68. The oldest was 93. And the median age was 84. So that's where we're most concerned about breakthrough illnesses in the very elderly, because we know vaccines in general are not as effective in that age group. And that's why people still have to, use some caution. And here's my really important message in terms of breakthrough. The rates are really low. It's like 0.03% of vaccinated people. So less than 0.03% of people who have been vaccinated have gotten COVID-19. But people who are vaccinated and develop symptoms of COVID-19 need to be tested. So if you're vaccinated and you develop a fever and a cough, shortness of breath, you should get a COVID-19 test. We're having people who have been vaccinated who get symptoms and think that the vaccine guarantees them that it can't be COVID-19. And that's unfortunately not true. So vaccinated people should get tested if they get sick.
Right. To get back to the substance of my question, among those people who had breakthrough, have any cases of transmission been traced to those people who had breakthrough infections? Yeah, in other words, I'm really trying to find out whether, what the risks are of somebody going to that hula party, getting exposed to somebody who is infectious, having a breakthrough infection and then spreading that on themselves, perhaps unwittingly.
You know, I'm not aware of any studies that have looked at that. It'd be a very hard thing to study, actually.
Yeah, I could see that.
And so all we can really truthfully say is we can sort of quantify the risk, and the risk is very low. That study of healthcare workers suggested that, you know, 90% of the vaccinated people would be no risk whatsoever, right, even those working in high exposure settings. And
right.
And so, but that's the thing about risk. You know, there are very few things in the world that are 0% risk. You know, everything's got a risk, and we sort of, you know, every day we're doing things that impose a 1 in a million risk of us dying,
right,
that we don't even think about. And what's in our control is the degree of risk that we take. So, and what I recommend is, you know, is to reduce preventable risk as much as possible, and don't spend a lot of time worrying about unpreventable risk, what we call inherent risk. That's just life.
Well, I think that is a really great line for us to end this interview on, because we have basically run out of time. And I want to thank you very much for taking your time this morning to talk with us once again. And yeah, I look forward to this being over and the show we do where we look back on that pandemic that we had several years ago and that is now just a memory.
Well, everyone looks forward to that. Although people need to pay attention to what's going on in the world. You know, this in most areas of the world, this is getting worse. So it's not over. It's just that we're heading into, I think we're going to have a really good summer, and things are going to be, we'll keep a lid on it, but whether we have a resurgence in the fall or not is going to be based on how many people we get vaccinated. So we're not going to give up. We want to get as many people vaccinated as is possible.
Internationally.
Yeah. Well, in this country and internationally, we have right. to, the U.S. has to become the vaccine producer for the world. You know, because it'll just keep being imported back into the U.S. and there'll be more and more variants until we get the global pandemic under control.
With Jefferson County Public Health Officer Dr. Tom Locke, this is Steve Evans for KPTZ Community Radio News. This week's Compass was written and produced by Steve Evans. The Compass airs Saturdays at noon and repeats on Mondays at noon and 5 p.m. You can listen to podcasts of past Compass programs at the kptz.org website, where you can also stream KPTZ Live 24 hours a day. For the news team here at KPTZ, 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, I'm Steve Evans.